Well, good morning and welcome. The time has come for us to begin. It is good to be with you again this morning, and appreciate the opportunity to share this role. We want to begin with some words of announcement. I think you can see most of those on the back of your bulletin. Does anyone else have anything else to add? Maxine?
Okay, from the bake sale yesterday, we got this. We made $793.
Praise God.
Everyone has donated the baked goods and everyone to help set up and break down. And we have a real talented lady in our congregation, Wanda. You all seen the Christmas trees and all the crafts that she had. They were really wonderful. She had a really, really great gift. And we really appreciate everything that she does and everything Debbie does. And Alice, she helped to set up and break down too. So I appreciate all the help we had. So.
Praise God. Almost $800. Praise God. And any other announcements?
I do. Okay. Can I correct something? Just to add on to their bake sale, they do have a few leftovers back there.
Yes.
So there's a donation box back there for you to put in if there's anything you'd like to get. I'll answer that. And following up with that, I think yesterday was one of our biggest breakfasts we've had. We did 603 altogether.
Wow.
I think that's been the biggest ones we've had.
That was a busy line.
Very busy, yes. On the back of your bulletin, you will see we were going back and forth about this. So I called Pastor Ed this morning and talked to him about it. The Advent we have starting next Sunday. And he said that was correct. Well, then I just got a message from him, and he says, don't trust the preacher with COVID, because I'm wrong. It's the following Sunday. So I'm still puzzled about that part, because I think it's next Sunday.
It's a very unusual setup this year.
Yes, very. So yeah. It will start December the 3rd. That will be our first Sunday of Advent, beginning with Christmas. Following up on that, it is on the back of your bulletin for the Christmas social on the 3rd, and you can read about that. And then if anyone is interested in being participating in the candlelight service, I would like to know that as soon as possible so I can get that program put together. And that'll be on the 17th, I believe it is. Yeah, 17th at 6:30. So.
Great. Thank you, Jerry. Yes, Bob?
Tracy, just a reminder on the directory back here, if anybody has any new addresses, phone numbers, any friends or relatives or something that you want to add or change in the directory, please make a note on the pad on the back table.
Great, thank you.
So
yes.
We'll be having a meeting here, probably right here close to the end of November, maybe next week sometime.
We'll be getting those new directories together. All right. Let us begin our worship. Jared? Our call to worship comes from Psalms 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we give you thanks and praise for this day, Lord, and for this season that we find ourselves in. We are grateful for your many blessings to us, Lord, and we pray your Holy Spirit indeed would come and move in our midst, Lord, and illuminate your scriptures, apply them to our hearts and lives, and encourage us, strengthen us for the week to come. We pray your blessings, and we ask in Jesus' name, amen. We'll begin by standing, if you're able, and singing number 516, Count Your Blessings. May be seated. We want to ask God's blessing over the offering, but also over these shoe boxes that we have. We've been able to collect now 34 shoe boxes, and praise God. We'll be taking those over to the Baptist Church here following the services and get those added to Thurmont's count. And I think usually there's 500, 600, maybe 700 boxes from the Thurmont area. This week is the collection week for those, so they'll be going to the warehouses and being shipped overseas so that kids can have a wonderful Christmas. So let's give God a moment as we pause to pray and ask his blessing. Father God, we're reminded so many times of the blessings that we have and we have received and that we enjoy in this country. And thank you, Lord, for the offering today. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of those who have chosen to support this church and your ministry through it. And we ask, Lord, you might move mightily Now these 34 shoeboxes as are added to thousands and millions of others, Lord. We just give you thanks and praise. We ask that you might direct by the power of your Spirit, Lord. Put each one, we know each one is a little bit different, and we pray that you would direct that just to the right child who needs to receive it, and that would be a blessing to not only to the child but to their family. And we pray, Lord, that you would minister to them through that. And so bless those who will be preparing these boxes for shipment. Bless those volunteers that will be handing them out and going into villages and up canals and rivers and into places they've never been before to put smiles on faces of children around the world. And so, Lord, as we head into the Advent season and celebrate your birth, we pray that there will be many that would receive joy and good news and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as a result of these shoeboxes. And so, God, would you just keep a special hedge of protection around all of these, the volunteers and the Graham organization, and your blessing upon them as they go overseas, that they might arrive safely and bless each one. We are grateful for all of your blessings to us, Lord, and we pray that you continue to move mightily, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The sharing of joys and concerns, an opportunity for you to let us know what's going on in your lives, and maybe someone God puts on your heart that you'd like us to pray for. Who would like to begin? Bob?
Well, of course, all Frank and Pat and his daughter Cindy and her husband Kevin have all been stricken with COVID. And of course, Pat's in the rehabilitation center in Mount Airy. I don't know the name of it exactly. But then the other night, Bubba, we call him Bubba, which is Terry, located in Texas, so somehow over the computer, maybe it's called Zoom, I don't know. He lined up each and every one of the family members to be able to talk to Pat and see each and every one at that time. Crazy in my mind how you do it, but it's wonderful that you did, you know.
It is a blessing.
That was certainly a blessing to Pat, too, for not being able to see anybody because of the lack of visitation, not be able to get in with due to their COVID.
Yes.
So we want to extend a healthy blessing of recovery to each and every one there. Also, Tracy, you and Pat, for your, well, just being here to share with our lives and so many others that you take care of, we just want the Lord to bless you well in each and every one.
Thank you. Others?
I want to keep my list of its family, friends, and even customers that come into the office. We talk about that, what our needs are. So I'd like to keep that list. God knows who they are and what their conditions are. As a joy, yesterday was a joy not only to be able to help with the breakfast, but following that, I got to go to Sight and Sound to see the Christmas miracle and with my daughter and grandson. And it was very nice. We had front row seats, so we were like up close and personal. it was really neat. But okay. The neatness of it and the joy of it too was to watch Chandler's expression with everything. And when the angels came out and started lowering down over the crowd and coming back in, he just looked up and he goes, "Wow," he said, "that has to be some really strong rope." But it was a very nice time. We had a safe trip up and back.
Wonderful. Yes. Yes. Praise God for his service.
Yeah. I want to continue the Baker family on the prayer and Travis and Debbie and Tammy and them all traveling to Tennessee and hope they have a safe trip back home.
I wish they would have taken us. That's getting harder and harder to make that trip. Others. Word that I have two aunts left, and my one aunt, she's 92 or 3, and she fell and was in the ER and probably would be moved to a care facility. So prayers for my Aunt Abby. Any others? Yes, Danny.
My brother and his wife
continued prayers for Pastor Ed and his wife.
Yes, and speaking with him this morning, he said to let everyone know they're on their last day of medication. They're getting better, but he's still in the chair, resting.
Yeah, I want to thank God for the many years that he's gave to my wife and I, because this coming Thursday, if he lived, we lived that
it was Friday.
We'll be celebrating 61 years together.
Wonderful. Praise God.
just keep Loretta, some of you know her as Sissy, and Louie in your prayers. She is back to the nursing home from being in the hospital with pneumonia. Just keep the hospital, the nursing home workers, or whatever you want to call them, in your prayers. Ask God to touch their hearts, because the care sometimes, I got a call at 8:45 Thursday evening, she was crying. She said, I need your help, and I'm 25 miles away, and it's 8:45 late. She said, I have my light on, and nobody will come, and my leg fell off the bed, and I can't get it back up. She said, I don't have the strength, and it's just pulling on me. And so, but by the grace of God, I did get through to somebody. I crawled in there. But let's pray for Sissy and Louie, but let's pray for all the healthcare workers out there in these nursing homes, because somehow along the line, compassion has gotten lost. And if you don't have compassion in that field, it's not good. So let's pray for them as well.
Let's come before the Lord in prayer. If you feel led to kneel, you're welcome to do so. Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your many ways that you move in our lives, Lord. We are mindful that we have yet not totally come through the COVID scenario, and many still are battling symptoms even now. And so we pray for health and wholeness and healing. We thank you, Lord, for the wonders of technology and the ability to see and talk to our loved ones at the same time. We ask, Lord, that you might move mightily in so many concerns that come before us. We think of names and people and things that are on our prayer list, Lord. Would you move in each situation and have your way in each person's life? Thank you, Lord, for those that serve, and we pray that over the holidays, Thanksgiving or Christmas, that those loved ones would be able to be home and experience some time with their family. We ask for traveling mercies for those who are on the road. We pray for those that are in hospitals and nursing homes and care facilities. We ask, Lord, you meet their needs on a daily basis, and do so through nurses who are kind and caring. We know there's a tremendous burden on healthcare today, and we ask, Lord, you would move mightily in providing the care that's needed. We ask that you be with Sissy and Louie and others, Lord, who are under the weather. Pray for my Aunt Evie. Lord, would you show us what it is that we can do? Help us to do it. And Lord, we pray for our country. We pray for its leaders. We ask that you would surround them with good counsel, wise counsel, as they make decisions that affect us. We pray for those that are experiencing the tragedy and terrible conditions because of war. So Lord, bring an end to the war in Ukraine. Bring an end to the war in Israel, Gaza. And we pray you would help those who have been affected by those calamities. Lord, we pray for those that are experiencing difficulties because of natural disasters, for drought, for fires, for floods. Lord, whatever the situation is, we pray for your hand to be upon them, provide for the basic needs and necessities of life. For those that are experiencing civil war, unrest, the lack of security, Lord, would you provide? We know this is a troublesome old world in which we live in, and so many changes are taking place around us so quickly. Lord, give us the ability to adapt. Give us the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those around us. Holy Spirit, come, move in a mighty way. We ask these things as we pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Zuri. Praise for Zuri. And now we'll have hymn number 289. Join me in standing. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, raising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, raising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, great from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, raising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, raising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, always at best, I am my Savior and happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, raising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, raising my Savior all the day long. The scripture I chose for this morning is Psalms 100, and as I was sitting back there listening to the Sunday school lesson, Karen mentioned a couple of points that I'm going to include, and as well as Dr. Jeremiah. I think that shows how the Holy Spirit moves, and he is having his way today. Isaiah 12, verses 1 through 6, which is the whole chapter, very short chapter in the middle of Isaiah. And in that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day you will say, Praise the Lord! Call upon his name. Declare his deeds among the peoples. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. May God add blessing to the reading of his word. When Deb asked for a favor, if we could fill in for this morning, I said, yeah, we had a surprise. The surprise is that you not just get to see me and hear from me. I think I might be a little bit rusty. You're going to get to hear from both of us. And Pat would like to share a little meditation first, and then I'll have a little sharing afterwards. And so you'll get two for one today. Sister Pat.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is kind of like going to the movies. You know, you go to see the main feature, and then you have to sit through the previews first. So. This probably won't be exactly what you thought you'd be hearing on Thanksgiving Sunday, but hopefully in the end you'll see the relationship. So my little segment is called, Who Am I? You know, when we meet someone for the first time, we often ask questions, exchange information, you know, like we give our names and maybe where we live, where we went to school, maybe what kind of job we had, that sort of thing. And it's the kind of information we need to have in order to get to know who someone is. And our identity is really important. You probably have seen and heard, but identity theft is a major source of crime these days. And they say that almost one-third of Americans have had their identity stolen. And we as Christians can also become victims to identity theft if we listen and believe the lies that Satan whispers in our ears about who we are or who we aren't. And so it's important that we know how God sees us and who we are in Christ. So I'd like to share six traits as part of our identity as Christians. And this is certainly not an exhaustive list, so I would, you know, hope that you would continue to look and find more characteristics and traits of who we are and strengthen your belief in your identity so you can fight against those lies. First of all, we're known. You know, God knows every detail about us. Jeremiah 1:5 tells us that he knew us before we were even born. Matthew 10:30 says he even has the hairs on your head numbered. 1 Chronicles 28:9 says God knows our hearts and our thoughts. And in Genesis 16:13, Hagar referred to God as the God who sees me. It's staggering to consider, but the always present, all-powerful God of the universe knows every single minute detail about us. Second, we're heirs. You know, each week we just said the Lord's Prayer. And how does it start? Our Father. Galatians 4:7 says, we're no longer slaves, but we're sons and we're heirs. And other New Testament passages tell us we've been justified by grace, we have an inheritance in Christ, and we're co-heirs with Christ. We've been adopted, we're part of his family, and we're heirs of God. And we're also aliens, you know, not the little green men with the antenna kind, but the definition of an alien, someone who belongs to a foreign country or nation, and it's not the one they're living in. In the book of John, several times it tells us that we're not of this world. And in Philippians 3:20 it says, but we're citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. We were created to live forever with God, and we're not going to feel like we're really truly at home until we reach heaven. You remember seeing commercials for Transformers? It was a toy that started back in the 80s, and it was kind of like a robot kind of thing, and yet you could manipulate it, and it would turn into a car or something else.
Yeah.
Well, we're kind of Transformers too, but of a different kind. We're works in progress. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. If we think of babies, they're certainly new creations, and they start out pretty much helpless. But as they grow, they develop, they learn all kind of new skills and knowledge all throughout their lifetime. So 1 Peter tells us to crave spiritual milk, but also to grow in our salvation. Hebrews says we should move forward from the basic elementary teachings to real maturity. 1 Timothy instructs us to be diligent, so we'll see progress. So how do we grow? Through Bible study, prayer, listening to godly mentors like Dr. Jeremiah. Every day, we should strive to become more Christ-like. You know, inside of each one of us, there's a Christ-like image of ourselves, and that's who we need to try to become more and more all the time. Our fifth word today is nobodies. Now, don't misunderstand me. It's not God who sees us as nobodies. You know, if I went out on the internet and posted a list of names of famous people, say actors and actresses and maybe sports heroes and things, everybody would know who they were. You know, maybe all over the world. But if I went out and put my name on the internet, almost the whole world would go, who? And that's probably true of most of us here, I think. But that's okay. You know, a well-known Christian music group, Casting Crowns, has a chorus in a song that says, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who saved my soul. We have a mission. Matthew 28, Jesus gave us the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey all of the commands I've given you. 2 Corinthians says, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. You know, an ambassador is an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. And remember, we already talked about being aliens, about being foreigners in this world. So we have a duty to represent and to speak for Christ. And finally, we might be nobodies to this world, but to God, we're special. Remember, we've been adopted. We're God's children. Romans 8 says, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children, and now we call him Abba, Father. Now, Abba is an Aramaic word that carries the connotation of a close relationship, almost like we would call God Daddy. 1 John references the great love that God has for us. He provides for our needs. He protects us. He teaches us. Most importantly, he sacrificed to save and reunite us with himself through Jesus' death and resurrection. So remember that God knows every minute detail of our lives, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But he still loves us with an everlasting love that we probably really can't even comprehend. So we are special, every one of us. So who am I? Who are you? We are known by God. We are heirs with Christ. We are aliens here on Earth. We're transformers, growing and maturing to be more Christ-like. We're nobodies to this world, but we're ambassadors for God. And we are special. We're the beloved children of the Most High God. And if that doesn't give us reason to have something to give thanks for, then nothing else will.
Thank you, Sister Mark. That was great.
His name was Robin. He was a likable, full-of-life teenager that had a rough start. Robin was short in stature and long blonde hair and handsome, hazel eyes with a mischievous nature. The Lord led a farm couple to adopt him and one of his sisters. Thus, for the first time, he had a chance to really experience life in a Christian home. The man and woman who took Robin in had a son, and they were blessed to have a large country home, a house on a farmette. They attended church regularly and had a weekly Bible study that met in their home. It was there that I got to know them. A bit more charismatic than I was used to at the time, but very friendly, loving, and down-to-earth people. As I got to know and to minister to Robin, I had the awful responsibility as youth director to visit the couple after the sudden and tragic death of Robin. In shock and in sadness, we gathered in their kitchen to express grief. And I will never forget her reaction to his death when she exclaimed, "Praise the Lord!" I thought it was so strange to make such a statement in light of the crisis. Was she glad to have one less child to care for? Robin was a bit of a handful. Did she rejoice to get rid of a thorn in the side or to have one less headache? No. This, I learned later, was an expression of faith by a woman who trusted her God and to be grateful in all circumstances, even in death of a family member. This woman praised God for his life, a chance to provide and an opportunity to love him for a short time, and for whatever God's will would be. As the grave-side service concluded at Rest Haven, we cried, we laughed, and we said goodbye to a teen who had a big smile, loved to laugh, and lived life to the very short life to its fullest. It was a lesson about being grateful for each day that we have. Tomorrow's not promised. It was a lesson to count our blessings. Thanksgiving is an opportunity to count our blessings. Instead of grumbling and murmuring, there is an old story of a man who went to a rabbi and he was complaining. He said, "Life is unbearable." He said, "There's 9 of us living in one room in Budapest. What are we to do? What can we do?" The priest, rabbi, thought for a moment and said, "Take a goat into the room with you." And the man was surprised and upset and said, "What? What are you talking about?" And the rabbi insisted. He said, "Do as I say. Come back in a week. Take a goat in the room with you." A week later, the man came back looking more distraught than ever, and he said, "We cannot stand it." He told the rabbi, "The goat is filthy, and the whole place smells." The rabbi said, "Go home and let the goat out. Then come back in a week later." About a week later, a radiant man returned to the rabbi, and he said, "Life is beautiful, and we enjoy every minute of it. Now there's no goat, only 9 of us." Perhaps being thankful is all in how you look at it. Do you see the cup as half empty or as half full? Perhaps being grateful is seeing the larger picture of what God is trying to do. Perhaps it is in how far that we can see. You know, it's easy to see the present, and sometimes we tend to forget some of the things in the past, but it is most difficult to see the future. Isaiah the prophet had some bad news to share with God's people about judgment, yet he also had some good news as he prophesied about the coming Messiah. And he saw a time in the future when God's people would give thanks for the mercies of God. How has God been merciful to you? What do you have to thank God for this year? Things in the past, things in the present, things in the future. Thankful for salvation, protection, provision, opportunities, privileges that others do not have. You know, Thanksgiving is a unique American holiday. And I don't like the way that it is so brushed aside so quickly. You know, back in like about August, September, you start seeing Halloween stuff and a little bit of Christmas stuff already coming out on the shelves. And then as soon as Halloween is over, it's all Christmas. And you almost never see very much at all the emphasis on Thanksgiving. I think that we, especially at this time of year, ought to pause and take a chance to just celebrate and give God thanks for the many blessings that we have. And one of those very special blessings is God's Word. And as we were thinking about today, I chose the book of Isaiah, and Dr. Jeremiah mentioned it, but did you know that the book of Isaiah is like a miniature Bible? There are 66 chapters in it, just as there are 66 books in the Bible. And so the first 39 chapters in Isaiah are filled with judgment for sin, and we see that there are 39 books in the Old Testament. The final 27 chapters are Isaiah, declare a message of hope. And we find this, that there are 27 chapters, 27 books in the New Testament. Messiah as a coming Savior and Sovereign, to bear a cross, to wear a crown. This is who we call Yeshua, Yahweh. Yahweh is our salvation. And so Isaiah's prophetic ministry spans the reign of four kings of Judah and covers at least 40 years. And as Dr. Jeremiah shared, that it was 700 years before Christ. Our scripture for today is Isaiah's prophecy, and it is a thanksgiving. It is a triumph of Christ's redeemed, and it serves as a dramatic climax to the Emmanuel prophecies that we see in the previous chapters. It is a praise in the middle of calamity, which expresses the joy of a people completely yielded to God's will and disciplined and completely content with His grace. This praise is a continual action. It is a song sung by millennial believers that give us the assurance that despite the hindrances placed on and presented by a disobedient and backsliding people, a chosen race, God's perfect plan for Israel will be completely realized at the end of human history. And God offers to us His wonderful plan of salvation. You know, there's no other name in heaven or on earth whereby we can be saved. Our text reads, "Behold, God is my salvation." And it literally means my salvation is God Himself. We know His name during the Christmas season is Emmanuel, God with us. And so, you probably know that Jesus is a Hebrew form of Yeshua. It's a form of Joshua. But we could also, in this text, put Jesus' name here as well. The use of the symbol of fresh water follows the biblical precedent of a type of salvation. Wells of salvation, often translated fountains, denote the flowing springs of water that never run dry. And in a dry climate, that's really important. The promise will be literally fulfilled for Israel in that day when the Lord returns to reign in the midst of thee. You know, when we see the current events that are taking place today, we know that much could happen very quickly. There could be great changes in economic, in social, and political, and around our world. And so we need to be ready. The first use of this word, wells of salvation or fountains, we see in Genesis. The fountains of the great were broken up in order to bring the great flood on the earth. Secondly, Jesus is known as the living water. And he's a symbolic form of salvation. Isaiah says here that he, upon that day, shall call upon his name. And the New Testament reminds us that his name is the only basis for our true salvation. And third, water symbolism also reminds us that the rains fall on the just and the unjust alike. Everything necessary for supporting life flows to us by an undeserved goodness because of the hand of God. And so we should give thanks. And just give thanks, but to give thanks to God, because ultimately all of our blessings come from Him. And that is our greatest way of expressing gratitude. Instead of murmuring and complaining, we want to give thanks. Give thanks for past blessings, to recall how God has saved us, how He's protected us from accident. I'm sure you can recall times when God has intervened in your life, what He has given to you and what He's given for you and where you are. We have so many blessings that we could count, as our hymn indicated. We should give God thanks for present blessings, to remember to express gratitude each day, to say grace before meals is one way of it, is acting upon this gratitude. There's a story of a man named H.A. Ironside who was having lunch in a crowded restaurant in Chicago, and just as he was about to begin his meal, a man approached him and asked if he could join him. He said, you know, restaurant was full, and so Ironside invited him to have a seat at his table because there were no other seats available. And then, as his custom, Ironside bowed his head to pray. When he opened his eyes, the other man was looking at him. He says, "Do you have a headache?" And I said, "No, I don't." And the other man asked, is there something wrong with your food? And Ironside said, "No." He said, "I simply was thanking God, as I always do, before I eat." And the man said, "Oh, you're one of those, are you? Well, I want you to know I never give thanks. I earn my money by the sweat of my brow, and I don't have to give thanks to anybody when I eat. I just start right in." Ironside said politely, "Yes, you're just like my dog. That's what my dog does." Gratefulness is one of the character qualities that we should display as disciples of Christ. Grateful for the blessings of today. And then to give God thanks for future blessings. Can you picture, we can't fathom it, can you picture in your mind's eye what heaven is going to be like? To be in the presence of God for eternity, to walk on streets of gold, to have those wonderful reunions with those who have gone on before us, to walk with the saints. You know, if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to be there. And so do you understand what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? We can only begin to fathom it. And so we should reach for those spiritual blessings and give God thanks for them. Isaiah's prophecy comes to God's people at a time when they were fearful about the throne and the future of the throne of David. There were great changes that were taking place in their society and environment. And so God points them to a time of unparalleled exaltation of the one who shall sit upon the throne during His great millennial reign upon the earth. We're getting closer to that time, aren't we? In between, we know that Emmanuel, the Virgin's Son, came and ransomed us. And these are great spiritual reasons for which we can be grateful. The character quality of gratefulness is expressing sincere appreciation to God and to others for the ways that they have benefited my life. It is receiving all things from the sovereign hand of God and finding the benefits in each one. You know, the Bible is full of commands to give thanks. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Psalms 107:1. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Psalms 104. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. Ephesians 6:20. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our call to worship this morning, Psalms 100, was David's psalm of thanksgiving. And Paul's instructions to the Christians of Ephesus indicate our need to express gratitude to God. James says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights. And so the key to gratefulness is this. If you don't get anything else out of this sermon, hear this. Thank God for what you do have instead of murmuring or complaining about what you don't have. Count your benefits instead of your burdens. If you do that, you'll express the sincere quality of gratefulness. Being grateful is more than just an understanding or a thought. It is an act. It is doing something. The Greek word here means an act to express gratitude towards God. And so, what better act than to say grace at a meal, to write a thank you note, to express appreciation to someone in some way. And so when we express our thanks to God, we give the Lord glory, the glory that he deserves. An expression of that gratitude might be on a regular church attendance. It might be sharing your testimony with someone. It might be giving generously to something, to the work of the Lord. There are countless ways of acting on our gratitude and expressing thanksgiving. And yet, it's hard to send a thank you note to God. but we can express that thanks to God by being grateful, by expressing words of appreciation to those whom God has placed around us, who has helped us in times past, who are helping us now, who may help us in the future. Who did God use to benefit your life? How have you seen Jesus recently in them? It's very simple to say thank you, to leave a tip, to do something to express our gratitude, to be generous in our gratitude. The poet says, "Now thank we all." He wrote these words. If there is a dominant note in life as is meant to be, gratitude is its name. What else is there to face in all the givens but to be grateful? Sadness to feel and suffering to bear, yet even in the valley of the shadows we are not alone. Another, the other, is there, our help and our hope. Therefore lift up your hearts and let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Be generous in expressing your gratitude to God, to those who he uses to bless us, to be grateful for all the benefits of life. So how grateful are you? Are you generous in your expressing your gratitude? Do you take time to show or to say thank you? Who is it that needs a thank you from you? I once heard on the radio a woman who was grateful for the local park near her home, how it was maintained, how it was kept nice for her children to play in, how it was safe. And so she realized years later, in all those time that her family benefited from it, she had never taken the time to say thank you. And so she went down to the Parks and Recreation Office of their local town and expressed her sincere gratitude to the staff that were there that day. They were astonished. They had never had a person come into the office to say thank you. Who is it that needs a thank you from you. When I think of this, I think of my first grade teacher. I didn't go to kindergarten. We only had first grade. And her name was Mrs. Alice Noel, N-O-E-L. And Mrs. Noel was a kind, older woman. She had began her teaching career in the one-room schoolhouse and moved through the changes of the school system and was in a country elementary school when I attended first grade. And years later, after I graduated, I would often go past her house in the little village where my father lived, and I kept thinking about, I should stop in there and say hello to her. And so one day I did, and I stopped and I said, I just wanted to stop and say thank you, how you got me off to a good start in my education and life, and I just wanted to say thank you for what you meant to me. And you know, she got all teary-eyed. She said, you know, she said, I don't know if I've ever had anyone come to my house to tell me thank you. Who is it that you could bless this Thanksgiving by saying thank you to? Thanksgiving is a holiday to remind us to give thanks, not just one day out of a month, not just a month out of a year, but really we should express that gratitude all through the year. Thanksgiving is unique. And, you know, this Thanksgiving is going to be special because there's not going to be another Thanksgiving like it. You don't know who is going to be around your table, who won't be there next year. And we really can't really count on next year at all. Next year, our society could be totally different. And so don't let Thanksgiving go by without expressing thanks to someone or something for what they've done. Someone who's benefited your life and you're grateful for it. And you know, ultimately, he's the source of that blessing. And he deserves the glory that's due his name. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a chorus that says, give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us, give thanks. It is wise to be generous in your gratitude and to give generously. Give thanks. Happy Thanksgiving. Let us close our service by standing and singing number 444.
Bringing in the sheaves.
And now may the God who provides be with you and bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, Amen.
Praise God from